In the gospel, Jesus is referring to the world in different ways. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you and you gave them to me. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours and everything of mine is yours. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. It's one of the realities, one of the mysteries. I suppose here we are in the world and we're not supposed to be of the world, right? We've heard that many times. We're in the world and we're not supposed to be of the world. How can we, as Christians, do that? So, and not get caught up in the world, not become attached to the world, not become, follow the philosophy of the world. And what is the world, you know? The creatures focusing on this world apart from God. Hollywood doesn't think about God. Television, you know, where, when do you ever hear about God? Not too much. The philosophy of the world, which is sensuality, you know, make it your way. Focus on yourself, put yourself first. And this is what we instinctively do with our fallen nature. So we're called to Jesus. Jesus came and lived in the world too, didn't he? He walked really in this world. He had a real body. He had to communicate with people in the world. We're social beings. So we're called to live in the world. But then the harder thing is to not be of the world, not to be attached to the world. To live, what do we live for then? If we're not living for the world and our own enjoyments, our own entertainments, what do we live for then? You know, that's a hard question to answer for the people who are non-Christians. You know, of course, we know as Christians we're to live for heaven. How do we live for heaven and still live in this world? You know, I think maybe the way to explain is really just striving to do the will of God, which is that we do our duties in this life, we do our work, we communicate with people, we practice charity, but above all, we have to discern what is God's will. And that means like continual prayer, you know, throughout the day, unless we only want to do God's will once in a while, and then we ask him what his will is. We try to discern what his will is whenever we want to or whenever we feel like. But God wants us to do his will all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of our life. And that's for those who want to be perfect. Those who are satisfied with less than perfection will, you know, try to discern God's will more or less most of the time, or not so, you know, part-time, whatever. But we're called to do God's will all the time. So this is our guiding light, our guiding thread that we hold on to as we walk through life. What is God's will? That's how we live in the world, because he wants us to do things in this world, to carry out his plan. And which means I have to do it while walking on this earth and while communicating with my brothers and sisters, doing what he wants us to do. And hold on to that thread, to hold on to that rope, you know, that guiding rope that's going to take us to the end of our life, to heaven. Keep holding on to that. We let go to that. We let go of that rope, which is God's will. We start going everywhere, following our own will. Doing whatever cravings ask us to do, but not just what our cravings say, but what the world tells us to do, what those who are not living for God tell us to do, or what they do, and we follow their example, and we are influenced by them. We follow Hollywood values or whatever we learn on TV or in the movies, and you know. So we're to walk through the world, and so we see all the dangers, and Jesus is worried about his followers. He's concerned about his apostles, first of all. That's why he prays for them so much, and he's sure by the end of his life that they're going to be faithful to him because he prayed for them. He prayed especially for Peter, you know, that he would be the leader. You know, he had to lead the other apostles and then the rest of the Christians. He had to lead them. So he prayed for them, and he, you know, secured the grace that they needed to be safe and to lead the rest of us. Of course, Judas did not accept the grace of God, and he followed his own will throughout his life and to his death. But Jesus prayed for them and obtained that grace for them. And grace is a really valuable thing too, because, you know, we can know what the will of God is. We can know all the gospel. We can know everything and still not be able to do it. Not to do what we know what we should do, what we even want to do in some ways, but not be able to do it. We have to pray and beg and desire and yearn for God's grace to put into practice what we know. So knowing is not everything. We can't just meditate. We can't just read the Gospels and spiritual reading and all these things. We have to pray for the grace. That's kind of the mystery, you know, because we, you know, part of the world is not just our cravings and the allurements of the world and, what we see on TV or from, you know, things, but it's also our addictions. You know, we can become addicted. We can become addicted to sin and to bad habits and just things that keep us away from God, distractions. Addiction is a sad reality of our life. It makes things so much more difficult, you know, to carry out the will of God. We want to be perfect. We want to be saints. We want to do God's will all the time. But then there's our own will. There's our own cravings and desires. And there's addictions, you know. We can get addicted to our own will, what our own entertainments are, what we want to do. So that's another difficulty, another challenge. We have to, you know, face it and deal with it. How do we overcome our addictions to bad habits? You know, addiction to TV or whatever, you know, eating too much or, you know, recreating too much or whatever it can be. We can develop these habits, and I just can't get rid of it. How do I get rid of it? So that I can be free to do God's will, to seek his will, to do the right thing, to be, you know, to do all the good things that I want, that I see the saints do, you know, that I want to do, that I can do. It's kind of almost, you know, within my grasp, but I just keep getting pulled back by my habits, addictions, you know. We have to confront our habits, our bad habits, our addictions, and our things that keep us from becoming perfect, becoming more holy, to doing God's will all the time, seeking his will all the time. And this is part of, you know, seeking. So we you know, as far as God's will is concerned, we have to find out what his will is. We need to do his will. We need to accept his will when things happen to us, the crosses that come our way, the difficult things, the duties we have. We have to go to work. We have to do these things, but also we have to, an important part of God's will is we have to seek his will. We have to seek his will and learn, you know. Not of, you know, even us religious, many times in my life, I haven't sought God's will. I kind of follow my schedule as a religious, or even as a lay person, did God's will, you know, was staying out of sin or grave sin or, you know, doing the major things. But I never really sought God's will, meaning like, you know, think about it, you know, ask God what he wants me to do throughout the day. I yearn for it, beg God to reveal it to me, because sometimes God won't even reveal his full will to us unless we really seek it. We look for it, we ask for it, we try to figure it out, because it's not easy to know sometimes what God's will is. He wants us to search and to dig and to pray and to learn what his will is, and it takes a lot of effort and work to do God's will, and that's what we're called to do as well, not just to accept what happens to us and do the major things, but to seek His will, you know, all the time, to seek it, and that means to really work at it. We're called to do that, and that's our guiding light through the world, which is so dangerous, so dangerous. God protected the apostles. You know, remember St. Paul was writing to his followers and saying, "I know when I leave, the wolves are gonna come in, and they're not gonna spare the flock." You know, we all get, you know, so many of us get swept up by the world and by people. You know, Father Tito says we should always live like we're walking on water. You know, we always need this, live this spiritual, supernatural life, not just a natural, but always a supernatural life, always rising above the flesh and the allurements of the world and what people will try to get us to do and what the examples they set. We are called to, you know, maybe as a religious, we're to walk on water. As a lay people, you're called to at least float. You know, you can float above the water in some way. You can't sink. You can't be like fish. You can't be living in the water. That's living in the world. Get swallowed up and die in the water because you're not a fish. We're called to do God's will. We need to stay afloat, which means what? Means we always have to pray. We're made that if we don't pray, we die. If we don't pray, we don't stay afloat. We don't pray, we don't walk on water. You know, we have to stay above the water, which is we have to pray, and pray significantly, and pray even more depending on what our state in life. As religious, of course, we have to pray much more. But as lay people, you have to pray a lot too, to stay above the water, stay above the water, stay alive, to stay out of the so many attachments in tentacles of the world. So this is what the example that Jesus set for us. He did live in this world, but it did not belong to this world. He set the example for the apostles, and they set it for the church, and the church to the end of the world sets this example that we live above the world, not attached to the world, but attached to the will of God and longing for our eternal homeland.
Fructum ventris tui.